Come on, somebody, open up their mouth and give glory to God. Come on, somebody, let out a hallelujah from the depth of your soul. Come on, let out a hallelujah, let out a holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is the only constant within all the changes that are going on in our world? He's still the I am. Who shall I say that sent me? You just tell him, I am that I am. I am what I was. I am what I am. I am what I will be. I'm just always constant. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord, and I change not. Aren't you thankful to put your trust in that certainty? You know, someone say, well, Brother Jackson, you know what? I just don't trust anything. I just don't trust in anybody. That's the biggest myth in this world. People that say, I don't trust anybody or anything. Yet, you drove today to get here. You didn't know that person that was driving next to you, but you just trusted they wouldn't run into you. You trust that as you walk in those shoes, your toe's not going to stick out of it. Hello? People would say, well, Brother, I just don't trust anything. Well, I got a question for you. Who made your pew? You trusted the person that made the pew. You trust that when you sit, he made it sufficient enough where it'll support you. Hello? You can't survive in this world without trust. Some people say, well, Brother Jackson, you know, I don't trust anybody, so I'm just going to lock myself in the closet. Well, who made your closet? Come on, somebody. The only way to survive in this world is trust. And not just trust in community, but aren't you thankful to trust something that is always constant? The Spirit of God that always comes through. Amen. Why don't we open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Thank you so much for your kindness this week and the hospitality. Those that have gotten meals for us, eating after service, we've just been enjoying ourselves. Just so thankful for those that have served us food and gone and get the food for us and gone above and beyond to be kind to us. We don't deserve it, but we're so thankful for your kindness. Appreciate so much your pastor and Sister Williford and their family and the leadership team. And like I said, that stability and example that paves the way for my generation, we're so indebted to them and men and women of God like them. And Brother DeLong and his wife, thank you for your kindness. And it's been under unique circumstances with everything going on. And I was telling them during the worship, I said, man, one of the things about me is normally after service, I love to spend time fellowshipping in the altar, talking with people, and love fellowship, love spending time. And COVID has just sabotaged that over the last few months. And but the Lord's working in the middle of it all. God's comforting in the middle of it all. And I'm so thankful that he's sovereign, that he knows what he's doing. And one thing that's happened in this COVID, I was just never a guy that, I was never an outdoorsman. I'm the guy in the office reading books, drinking coffee. Amen. But after I was locked in there, for so long, I was like, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to go walk in the grass today. You know, I started enjoying the sun and just going out and just pulling weeds at the church. Me and my wife was, let's just go pull some weeds at the church. Amen. Just get out of here. Praise God. Let's just get, do something. So I've become an outdoorsman. Next thing you know, I'm going to be hunting and fishing and walking around with camouflage on. Amen. Amen. What happened to you? Well, let me tell you what happened in 2020. Praise God. Amen. So I've been enjoying outside. And so there are some good things that have come out of this. I've adapted and God has helped me. Amen. Give honor to my beautiful wife, Louisa, and my son, James Asher. So thankful for them. Love and appreciate them. They travel with me 95% of the time. Incredible strength to everything we do. And that's another thing. Her gift is praying for people in the altar. Praying people through. Just such an incredible asset. And COVID has stretched her. Well, now it's just reached into intercession. Praise God. Just intercession from a distance. And so God is finding and tuning our ministry during this time, and we're thankful for it. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives and were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man of his sons for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And he brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered them, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, I didn't read these two scriptures, the next two scriptures, 9 and 10, in the first service, but I want to read them here because I'm going to emphasize this more in this second service. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with them, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Listen to this. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And I wanted to preach on that subject this morning, rewards for the weary. Rewards for the weary. I really didn't get to my point in the first service. Thank God for a second service, huh? Amen. I'm going to get straight to the point in this service. Rewards for the weary. Why don't you lay your Bibles down, everyone? Close your eyes and lift up your hands. Let's ask God to speak in this house. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for this first service. We thank you for moving upon your people. We thank you for the anointing that we feel. Let lives be changed. Let the people of God be edified. Let people be touched. Let people be delivered. Let your word be like bread. Let your word be like water. Let your word be like a hammer that breaketh the rocks. Let your word be like a river. Let it be as sweet as the honeycomb. Let your word be like a fire, consume us. Do what only you could do. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much to the worship team, singers and musicians. Thank you for your hard work this week. All those that have been involved in this week with the setup, such hard work. Media team, thank you so much once again. Appreciate so much all that you have invested into God's house. I tapped into really a ministering anointing this morning, and I plan to continue in that same vein. It's like God hasn't changed the narrative and changed the vein. And but the truth of the matter is that I am weary with what's going on in our world. I'm tired. Somebody say, I'm tired. I'm tired of the fighting. I'm tired of the division. I'm tired of hell attacking families. I'm tired of losing lost loved ones. I'm tired of elders having to be buried. I'm tired of young people fighting with depression during this time. I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm tired of having to take it. Am I preaching to anybody right now? Having to take it over and over and over again. And you take it because you assume things are going to get better. And then while you're waiting for something to get better, something else comes and you have to take it again. And it's almost like when you take it so much, you just get backed into this corner and you're waiting for somehow miraculously things to be alleviated. But it seems like things are just getting worse, and nothing changes, and it seems like there's the only way things are going to change is when we start initiating change, where we take it upon ourselves to turn the tide, where you tell the devil enough is enough already. You're not touching my kids anymore. You're not touching my marriage anymore. You're not touching my future anymore. You're not touching my church anymore. Come on, because in my weariness, I've discovered I've got a voice, and I'm about to start using this voice to turn the tide of the enemy. Come on, somebody, and gain territory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of this wind that has blown through the body of Christ, where people are suffering in an unprecedented fashion. It's not just anything to do with COVID. There is something spiritual that has been happening in this time. I'm hearing of 21-year-olds that have only been married for a year. They're expecting a child in the next few months, yet they've been diagnosed with cancer. They just became youth pastor. They've been diagnosed with cancer. I'm tired of hearing stories of friends that I have in Illinois and their baby at 2 years old getting glaucoma and getting cancer in there. It's enough. It's enough already. Now, somehow we have to get into a place of intercession and desperation with God, where we say enough is enough. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You have pushed us long enough now. We're about to pray in a way that we've never prayed before. We're about to worship in a way that we've never worshiped before. We're about to shout in a way that we've never shouted before, because we're tired of the suffering. I'm tired of being long-suffering. Come on, somebody. I told him this morning, some of y'all have become masters at long-suffering. If you have a spiritual gift, it's long-suffering. Tribulation worketh patience. You've mastered patience. Come on, somebody. Somewhere there has to be a let up. Somewhere something has to give. Come on, when you are handling yourself properly and you're keeping your mouth shut and you're staying faithful and you're giving and you're tithing and you're worshiping, and yet the devil still fights, we have to take matters into our own hands. Come on, somebody. Say, I'm not going to wait till the season changes. I'm going to change the season. Come on. Doesn't the Bible say there's a time to laugh and a time to weep? If I've been weeping for 5 years, I think it's time for that season to be over. Oh. Amen. Amen. It made me think about whenever I, in my first few months evangelizing, and what happened was I was traveling to this place, and long story short, got in a wreck. Somebody hit me, drunk driver. It was crazy. I was afraid. I was fearful. God miraculously preserved us. Literally, this car hit me going 60 miles an hour. Literally, not a single scratch or a dent on my vehicle at all, on mine or his. Angels of the Lord protected us. But I stirred up something in the spirit realm, and it seemed like everywhere I went, people were trying to run me off the road. I'm not kidding. And it was like they were snarling at me. I was driving, they're snarling, they were rev their engine at me. I'm like, who's trying to kill me out here? Praise God. And I realized I stirred up something in the spirit realm, and I went home after that meeting, and I went ahead and preached on spiritual warfare on that Wednesday. Then I woke up Thursday morning, and my wife and I hadn't even been married for a year yet, not even 6 months yet. But I woke up that morning, that Thursday, and I went to my car. And as soon as I got into my car, two hands came to my windshield and said, I'm going to kill you. I said, huh? He said, I'm about to kill you. And so I did what any of y'all would did. I put my car in reverse and backed up, praise God. Amen. I backed up, drove about 100 yards away, and I had a stick shift at the time, so I put that thing in reverse real quick, amen. Hey, yay, whew, praise God. I got anointed with that stick shift, amen. And this is a complete stranger, and so I drove 100 yards away, and I rolled down my window. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm going to kill you. I said, I don't even know you. He said, I'm from New York. How does that help me? Amen. I said, bro, at the time, I said, dude, I've never been to New York. He said, I'm going to kill you. And by the time he said, I'm going to kill you, I was 100 yards. I'm telling you, I was from this pulpit to the grass outside, all the way across the street over there. I was far, and by the time he said, I'm going to kill you, his hand almost hit my vehicle again. The man was demon-possessed. And as soon as I drove away, the police pulled in, and they asked me to roll down my window, and I rolled down the window, and they said, is everything okay? What type of day is this where the police ask you to roll down the window and ask, is everything okay? And I just said, that man said he's going to kill me. I'm going to go arrest the man. The man had no background. He wasn't from Florida, had no record. Now I'm afraid. I was so afraid and so fearful that I literally wouldn't get out of bed. I didn't even want to travel. Imagine that, an evangelist that refuses to travel. I didn't even want to. I was paralyzed in bed. I was depressed. I didn't want to get out from under the covers. And literally, at the time, my wife didn't know how to drive the manual yet. I was still in the process of teaching her. So she got hungry, and she was like, hey, babe, I'm hungry. I said, oh, no, I have to leave the house. I'm scared to leave the house. And so I looked on my Apple Maps and looked what was the closest thing to eat, and it was like Burger King a mile away, McDonald's 1.1 miles away, Taco Bell 0.9 miles away. We're going to Taco Bell. The closest thing where I won't get killed. That's how afraid I was. We went to Taco Bell. My wife literally had to help me out of the car because I had no strength to walk. I was so tired because of the fear. Fear has a way of just exhausting all of your energy. And what happened was we went home after she ate. I couldn't eat, and I wound up telling her, I said, babe, I got to go to the church to pray. I got to go to the prayer room. She said, okay. I went to the prayer room, and I was in prayer, and make sure my timer's on. I do preach with a timer, amen. Somebody say wisdom, wisdom. Literally, I went to the prayer room, and when I got to the prayer room, I was just praying to God. I said, God, I need you. I need your help. I don't know what's going on. The devil's trying to kill me. And then right there while I'm praying, the enemy said to me, Victor, I'm about to kill you. I was like, I'm praying. Like, this should be the safe spot where I don't hear anything from the devil. And when I realized that even in my prayer time, while I'm at the church, in the prayer room, that the devil still comes to speak to me, I realized for some reason I had accepted something that God didn't want me to accept, and that is that I believe that all you have to do is ignore the devil. And if you ignore the devil, somehow, you know, it's gonna lift. But I realize that you can ignore the devil so long that you begin to tolerate what he does. But I realized that I was pushed into a corner, and the devil tried to convince me, as long as I keep my mouth shut, things are going to get better. Just hold on, keep your mouth shut, things are going to get better. But I realized I was tolerating him encroaching on territory that God had given me. So I began to stand up in the middle of that prayer meeting, and I began to say, devil, you're going to wish you never touched me. You're going to wish you never touched my family. You're going to wish that fear never came. No, you come here, devil, because I'm not on the defense anymore. Now I'm on the offense, and every city that I go into, I am tearing down your kingdom. Come on, and now I'm initiated. Come on, you gotta get a righteous indignation in you and say, you have taken enough from me. Now I'm coming out of the corner to take back everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But fear paralyzes us, and we get weary, we get tired, we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And David, he is on his way to Ziklag. The Philistines sent him home, and he had a 55-mile journey to Ziklag. This was a wearisome journey, and he is expecting to spend time with his family. He is expecting to spend time with his children. He is expecting to spend time and rest after a long journey. But when he gets there after that 3-day, 55-mile journey to Ziklag, from Aphek to Ziklag, the Bible says when he got there that it was burned with fire. When he got home, his women, the women captives, they were taken away, and the children were taken away. They don't even have the ability to recover from one battle before they realize they're in another battle. And I'm preaching to people that have been battle weary. You've been in battle after battle after battle after battle, and without even getting any, come up from under the water and get a breath. You've been drowning in a battle. And he came home, and Ziklag was burned with fire. Everything was taken away. They had no room for recovery. All they had was sorrow. Sorrow followed them everywhere. And the Bible says that when the people people saw that everything was taken away and that Ziklag was burned with fire, that they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept so much that they became numb with weeping. You ever went through so much that you started expecting bad stuff? It's like Job, whenever the first servant came, said, hey, this happened. And then the second servant came, hey, this happened too. And then when the third one comes, he's like, yeah, I know, what happened? Then the fourth one comes, tell me, what else happened? You start expecting bad news. Who am I preaching to right now? Because you become numb to victory. You haven't felt it in so long. Come on. You feel like the Christian life is a life of suffering and a life of conflict and a life of division and a life of helplessness. But I'm telling you, God is still wanting to bring joy in the morning. God is still wanting to bring joy in the midnight hour. But when you've been waiting on joy so much, you just start getting frustrated. Encouraging messages start frustrating you. Because every time you receive one, you go home and Ziklag's burn with fire. You get a confirmation everything's going to get better. You go home and you get a text, hey, we're going to furlough you for a few months. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. That when you hope so much and your hope just keeps getting disappointed, you just stop hoping. It's like, God, you just going to have to give me hope. Because I ain't looking for hope no more. I'm talking to somebody out there. Like, I'm tired of looking for hope. God, you just going to have to give it to me. Had no more power to weep. They were numb. They were numb with loss when struggle after struggle keeps on happening, when thing after thing keeps on happening. There is a numbness that is produced. There is a weeping that is produced. And in the middle of that, the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. There was a stress upon him. There was a stress upon the people. And the Bible says that the people spake of stoning him. It's amazing that when you're in a tense atmosphere, in a tense moment like we've been for the last 6 to 7 months, how relationships get, there's friction. The slightest thing now aggravates you. Can you believe he wore the green tie today? Who does he think he is? Thinks he's better than all of us, doesn't he? The smallest thing. Look like he got a new jacket. Well, I just lost my job. Who do you think he is with his jacket showing off? Come on, somebody. Because you're so tense that it puts a pressure on all of your friendships and all of your relationships. And you say, why did y'all stop talking? I don't even remember. I think it's because they wouldn't share their cookies with me, and I got mad. And well, we get stressed over the smallest things. Everything puts us on edge. You're on edge in your marriage. It's like, where did you put my stuff? You're always hiding my tie from me. Can't find nothing in this house. Come on, somebody. Start looking at the kids. You got it. Kids like, no, Dad. It's like, Dad, I think it's in your pocket. Oh, yeah. You should have told me it was there. Come on, somebody. Just mad about nothing. just like being mad. Because it's just tense. I'm just tense. There's pressure with the supervisor at work. There's pressure everywhere that we go. There's pressure everywhere. And it's like you come home and try to get some relief, but you realize Ziklag is still on fire. You can't even rest when you go home because of the weight of what's going on in your world. You just want to go into your man cave. Come on, somebody. Just go sit in your office and look at the deer on the wall. Why do you think this is happening to me? Come on, somebody. Is this revenge because I killed you 2 years ago? I'm kidding. Ziklag's on fire. And they spake of stoning him. They're mad. And when you're angry at your circumstances and situations, the only thing to take that out on is on people. Come on, somebody. Because you're trying to process your circumstance and you got people saying, hey, I need you to do this. Man, you always need something from me. No, this is the first time I've asked, but everyone else, the circumstance has been pressuring on your mind. And it's like anybody that interrupts that thought process, come on, somebody, you take it out on them. Hold on, son, just let me think. Like, Dad, you've been thinking for a week. I haven't had a conversation with you. Wave a hand if I'm helping somebody here. Wave a hand. And the Bible says that they were, here's why they were tense, because all the people were grieved. Everyone was mourning over someone. Everyone was hurting over something. And in the middle of that, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. We see the pathway to deliverance here. When there's whispers all around you, when nothing's working out, it's having the tenacity to get into the presence of God and letting God strengthen you with his presence. Where you say, God, everything else has fallen around me. My jobs fell through. Family, things aren't going well. But God, if I can just get into your presence, you can turn something around for me. You can do something for me that nobody else can. Come on, somebody. That's what this season has pushed us to. It's pushed us to a dependency. You know what? I just got to learn to get into the presence of God all by myself and be anointed all by myself. Come on, somebody. And you know what I've learned? When everything's going bad in the world and nothing's working out, David said, I just learned to start preaching to myself. Sometimes you gotta take your family into your house and you gotta start preaching to your family. We're coming out of this and we're coming out better than we went in. And I know it doesn't look good right now, but this isn't our end. This is the beginning. You gotta learn to get some encouragement for yourself and say, we are not done, and the future's greater than the past. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, you have to learn to start preaching to yourself. Some of y'all have been waiting for an encouraging word while God's been waiting on an encouraging word from you about your own condition. So you've been waiting on somebody to pat you on the back, say it's going to be okay. God said, I gave you a mouth, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you have to start opening up your mouth and start speaking some things into existence. You got to learn to speak those things that are not as though they were, because the world's were framed by the word of God. That word worlds in the Greek is not cosmos. He wasn't speaking about this physical earth. That word in the Greek is aeons, which means the times and the seasons. He said the worlds, the times and the seasons are framed by the word of God. If you want to change your season, open up your mouth and start changing your season by what you say. The press.
depression, your season is over. Suffering, your season is over. Anxiety, your season is over. Fear, your season is over. Hope, it's a new season of hope. It's a new season of joy. It's a new season of dancing. It's a new season. See, every time you start smiling, the devil wants you to feel out of season. It's not the time for that. Makes you feel guilty for being happy about something. Don't you know what's going on in the world? Who you think you are being happy? I told someone, you know, fear is not a virtue. Like the world's tried to make it a virtue. If you say, well, how you feeling all this? Well, I've got peace in the Lord. What's the matter with you? Come on, somebody. This is the worst it's ever been. What do you mean you have peace? And it's the mob mentality that comes against you. And they say, you need to be fearful because they've tried to make fear a virtue. But perfect love casts out fear. Fear is not a virtue. But if I can fall in love with Jesus Christ in a new way, in the people that he created, come on, love is going to turn the tide that fear tried to create. And if we will get an encouragement in the Lord, if we will fall in love with his presence all over again, there is going to be a shifting. There is going to be a transformation. There is going to be. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You have to learn to start speaking to your situation. You have to learn to start framing this. If you don't speak it, nobody else will. If you don't learn to encourage yourself, I don't care how much encouragement you get on the outside. If you don't get something down deep rooted in your spirit that begins to climb from the bottom of your soul. David said, why art thou cast down, O soul? Hope thou in God. David began to speak to his own soul. Soul, you're cast down. I'm speaking to you, soul. It's time to have hope. Come on, you gotta command your own soul and say, soul, it's time for you to hope again. Why art thou cast down, soul? Why art thou disquieted, soul? Hope thou in God. Got to speak to your own soul. Hope. When you get a bad report, you better not let go of hope. Whatever you do, don't let go of hope. You may not have enough strength to have faith, but you always have enough to have hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you can start hoping long enough, all of a sudden, hope is an expectation that things are going to get better. But when you hope with expectation, there is a divine transaction that happens, and it turns into faith. And it's not, I expect things to happen. It's, I know something is about to happen. Don't you let go of your hope. Don't you let go of your expectation. Hope. Hope. I don't have the faith for it. Well, just don't stop hoping. Because as long as you have hope, faith has something to work with. It's the substance of things hoped for. Hope builds up. Hope's the ladder to faith. The mustard seed of faith falls out of the plant of hope. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all gonna throw me out of here. The tree, when it's cut down, at the scent of water, it buds again. The stump that was cut down in some storm or cut down by some person, as soon as it gets a scent of water, not even rain, that stump starts budding because it has an expectation that one day it's going to be a tree again, no matter how impossible it looks. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. You may have been cut down, but don't lose your hope. I don't care how impossible it looks. It may be a stump, and you used to be a mighty oak tree. You may be a stump right now, but let some water just come in your vicinity. It don't even have to fall on you. It could be on somebody else in the church service, but all of a sudden, you begin to get a whiff of expectation, and all of a sudden, something in that tree begins to grow up and begins to grow again. Come on, don't you lose your hope. He encouraged himself in the Lord. That was the beginning of a transformation. That was the beginning of a change. The worlds were framed by the word of God. That word framed in the Greek literally means restored or repaired. The worlds were repaired, restored. The seasons were restored by the word of God. Not just the word, not the logos, not the written word, but the rhema, the spoken word. The seasons were restored by the spoken word of God. Who am I preaching to right now? I've got to start talking. Got to put some scriptures up in your refrigerator and just start prophesying scriptures over your family. Got to put some scriptures up in your bathroom and just start prophesying over yourself while you're shaving. Come on, you might cut yourself. You get so excited. What happened to you? What's that band-aid on your face? Oh, I'm just hoping again. Come on. I'd rather cut on my face with hope. Come on, somebody. Than to be clean shaven without hope. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank God I'm preaching with a timer. Amen. Oh, Lord. Because I feel my second wind came on me. Praise God. Second service, second wind. Amen. Here's what I wanted to get to. David, after he encouraged himself, watch this, he gets direction. See, you've been looking for clarity, but you've been looking for clarity without getting in his presence to receive encouragement. Clarity comes when you get into his presence and you encourage yourself. And out of that encouragement, he got vision and clarity, and he inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue?" And God said, "Pursue." You don't have to put up with all the loss. You can get it back. So David went with his 600 men, and they came to a brook. And the Bible says that David pursued. I want you to catch this because this is where we are. And he and 400 men went, for 200 people abode behind because they were so faint and weary. They just did a 55-mile journey. Now David said, now it's time to pursue. And you know, as soon as they heard a fresh vision to do something fresh, instead of excitement, is who am I preaching to right now? They said, hey, we're about to do it. And look here. You sure we got to? We're about to do this. We're about to do this. We're about to do that. And you're like, can you say that again? We're about to go here and get everything back. How much energy that's going to take? You know, I'm looking at my Fitbit. I done broke like 2 world records. Amen. And they're tired. So 400 go, but 200 didn't have the strength to go. I'm going to minister to you right now. And they stayed back. David And the 400, they went and they recovered all. They beat the enemy from twilight to even. They recovered everything. They recovered family. And they got more back. They got everything back. And in verse 21 of chapter 30, it says, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David. And he said, come meet me. And there were people that went with David that said, hey, these people went not with us. We will not give them anything of the spoil that we have recovered. They said, they can just have their wife and their children, but lead them away and let them depart. And David said in verse 23, you shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Look what he says here. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall be his part that tarried by the stuff. He said, the people that fight the battle and have the energy to fight the battle, they're going to get a reward. But he said, there's also going to be a reward for the weary. Because even though they didn't have strength to fight, they had enough strength to protect the essentials. Oh, God in heaven, I'm going to preach to somebody here. You may not have enough fight to go to warfare like you used to, but you got enough in you to protect the essentials, to protect the foundation, to protect the stuff that's going to stay here when they come back. I said, there's a reward for the weary. I'm preaching to people that have been tired. Hey, you haven't had the strength to lift up your hands or the strength to fight. But something in you still has the ability to protect the essentials of what God has given you. Meaning, we may have lost all of that, but the devil's not getting this little thing, this little territory, this little shout, this little praise, this little dance, this little worship. I'm going to protect it, because when they get back, there's going to be a refreshing. I want everybody to stand to your feet, and I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. 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 That's what's happening in this youth revival. These young men and women of God are going into the enemy's camp to get back what the devil has tried to take away from this church. And they've got all the energy. But there's been some elders that say, I remember when I used to fight like that. I remember when I had the energy to go after it like that. But Brother Jackson, I've been weary. Maybe they're going to reap all the reward themselves because I don't have enough strength to really go there like I used to. But God said, I got a reward for the weary vessel, because you're protecting the essentials. You're protecting the doctrine. You're protecting holiness. You're protecting the love of God. You're protecting foundational principles. You're protecting the basics. And as long as you protect the basics, come on somebody, when they come back from that warfare, there's going to be a reward for every elder. There's going to be a reward for every tired person. Cause you deserve it, like everybody else. Somebody else may be doing the fighting in a great way, like you used to. But God said, there's still going to be some rewards that comes to the weary vessel. He said, and it became a statute, it became a custom, it became a law in Israel that those that don't go to war but stay home to protect home base, they get something as well. You may not be able to intercede like you used to, but there's a reward coming your way. God said, I'm still going to bring your backslidden son back. who haven't been able to intercede like you used to, or really battle in the spirit like you used to. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to deliver your daughter from drugs. You better start expecting a reward just like everybody else has gotten a reward. You better start expecting for the backsliders to start coming back. You better start expecting for the fallen to get back up again. You better start expecting for those that have failed to find a place of restoration in the kingdom. There's a reward for the weary. Oh, Jesus. There's a reward for the weary. Can you lift up your hands where you are right now? Come on, I want you to start speaking some things in faith. God, we're going to get my family back in church. God, you're going to bring my daughter back. You're going to bring my son back. You're going to bring my cousin back. You're going to bring my mama back. You're going to bring my brother back. You're going to bring my sister back. You're going to bring my joy back. You're going to bring my anointing back. You're going to bring my future back. I'm expecting a reward. I'm speaking life in the middle of death. I'm speaking hope in the middle of suffering. I'm speaking a turnaround in the middle of stagnation. I'm speaking. Come on, open up your mouth. Something is beginning to turn right now. You need to speak over your family. You need to speak over your life. You need to encourage yourself right now, because there's a reward coming. There's a reward coming. There's a reward coming. There's a reward that's coming. I wish somebody would tap into spirit right now. I wish somebody would press a little bit. There's a reward coming, I said. There's a reward that's coming, I said. It's coming to the hurting. It's coming to the broken. It's coming to those. Come on, you need to grab your family member by the hand. You need to link up with that family member beside you. Husbands need to join their wives. Children need to join their parents. And let's speak about a reward. There's a turnaround that's coming, and you can expect it. You're worthy of it. Don't you walk around defeated. Don't you walk around feeling low. Oh no, there's a reward with your name on it. And it's coming to bless your household. It's coming to bless your finances. It's coming to bless your seed and your generations. Oh, hallelujah.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Come on, lift up your hands and open up your mouth and declare it.
Together, let's praise the name of the Lord. I thank you, oh great God. You're in charge of this world. You're in control, and you built your church, oh God. And you are in charge of our lives, and we are in your hand, and nobody can pluck us out of your hand, oh God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 My servant David did not go in his own power of thought or planning, but he checked it with me first. Shall we go? And in all of his ability, and in all of his warrior ability, and with a great number of people, even that he could not have claimed and reclaimed everything, but because he sought me first. And so I say to you, check with me, ask of me, inquire of me first of all with a faith in that hope, and then you will receive your answer. And as you follow that answer, to pursue, to stay, or to wait. Whatever my answer is, it's your answer. And it's going to bring to pass the answer that I desire, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We seek you right now. We seek you, Lord. We seek you through your word. I want to encourage you, those watching on the internet, those of you here, church, guests, visitors, read the word of the Lord as you have never read it before. Read it. That's inquiring. That's seeking after God. And not only is he going to give you the words off the page, but he is going to give you insights to that, such as we have heard today. And we're going to go away from those times thinking, I never saw that before. Seek the word of the Lord. Don't seek for new thoughts. Don't seek for drama. Just read that word. And God is going to give us the answer. Pray. Go to prayer.